Now, kind of getting back to a little bit about what you were talking about before, Tony, you know, all the technologies and all that, and to build on that, social media, do you guys feel that what we see our friends posting on social media makes for unfair comparisons and causes unneeded unhappiness?
It can. It's very, let me go back a few minutes ago in our time right now, seductive. It can pull you in. And remember, it's called social media. So people have such a wide range of, like, they might put up their recipe to their biggest book deal they want, a seminar they're at, or their church thing they went to on Sunday, or a soccer game. There's no rules, which makes it interesting. And if you look at it, yeah, it can be hard. You know, a book that I read a couple months ago is called The Icarus Deception by Seth Godin.
Great book.
He talks about, I love Seth's work, and the book is frightening. He's basically saying, look, you're going to have to deal with criticism and a lot of opinions, a.k.a. the social media networks, and you've got to keep moving in spite of it. That's a quantum because social media now has made all of our lives, for the most part, very transparent, good or bad,
right,
fact or fiction. So I look at some of the social media and say, you know what, it's an opinion. I get too wrapped up like I used to a couple years ago when I was on Facebook initially or doing email. But I also know that my lifestyle is very public. That presents pros and cons. So doing the best I can to stay strong mentally, physically, and spiritually, to know that some people just aren't going to like me. Trust me. I'm doing an event right now. There's a lot of people in the industry that probably don't like me. I hear about it, but I have to press on and know this. I can't please everybody. It's very, very liberating to know I cannot make everyone happy. I have to be happy first, and those that get and resonate with me or attract to me, that's the people I'm looking for. I cannot save the world.
Right.
I have to be happy first.
How about yourself, Julie? Do you feel social media causes us to make unfair comparisons to others and causes unneeded happiness?
I do. I think social media is a great tool. I also believe that whatever you put the majority of your attention on is exactly what you create in your own life. So it depends on what you're paying attention to. And that's what we're all responsible for individually. Personally, I take time off of social media for periods of time, weeks, maybe a month. And it really is kind of to detox. And those are typically periods where, you know, I'm cocooning for something, you know, the next stage for me. But certainly a lot of time can be spent on social media. And that's fine. It's a great tool. But I think there's just something to look at as, you know, if you're using it as a tool to expand your business or, you know, even to grow personally or whatever you're using it for, or are you using it to numb yourself and keep you from taking action in your own life? So it's a great tool, but just be mindful of how you use it.
To trail back to one other thing you're talking about, hey, we're born happy. We laugh more from 0 to 10 than we do these days. What do you feel is the secret of happiness and fulfillment in today's world?
Wow. if I had a correct answer, I'd be a trillionaire. But seriously, Paul, you know, my best stab at that is to find out what makes you happy. Trust your instinct much more than people give you credit for, and pursue it, even in spite of critics.
Sure.
And I'm going to go back to what Julie just said. I can tell she's a student of Abraham and Law of Attraction. Yes, what you focus on becomes your reality. Most people don't want to hear that, especially if they're going through a tough time. You brought that. You were thinking about something. Here's the good news. You're allowed to change at any given time you want to. Only you at the end of the day in the mirror can decide, I've had enough. I'm ready to change. I'm tired of being sick and tired of it. And what's funny to me as a student of the industry for 20 years, the parallels of the stories where someone hits the wall and they come into what Napoleon Hill would say is their other self, where they start to tune back in their own frequency and say, you know what, I've had enough of everyone trying to tell me what to do.
Right.
I have to think for myself and get myself grounded and happy and change because no one can do it for me. Jim Rohn, another legend of the industry, would say, no one can do your push-ups for you. Very simple but profound statement. And I love the fact in a world that is very much addicted to, I call it negative media and drunk on digital technology. If you don't like what Julie said, manage it carefully
right.
And prioritize it. it's seductive, and you kind of get fooled because it's so easy to fall into that trap. But it's getting control, and again, I go back to earlier in the interview. Who are you associating with, and what are your habits? They will dictate a lot of your happiness or unhappiness.
How about yourself, Julie? Mm-hmm. What do you see as the secret to happiness and fulfillment in today's world?
I think that's a very important question. Well, first of all, since, you know, I am a firm believer that everything is energy-based, the two most powerful creative energies that exist are, well, there's two types. Love and joy would be one, and anger and fear are the other. So to look at, you know, where you are the majority of your time in your own life, do you spend more time in happiness and love and joy, or are you more in fear and anger and anxiety? Because they'll both create things for you. So the question of what do you do to maintain a consistent level of happiness? Happiness is a choice. It is chosen, really. It's happiness is a response to something. So there's a few things. Actually, there's many things. If you have no expectation of, or you're at least not attached to expectation on how someone's going to respond to you or how a situation is going to pan out, nothing will disappoint you. So there's one thing. Another thing is unconditional love, man. It's like you can unconditionally love anything and anyone, and that is a choice. And it takes some practice because there are people out there in circumstances that will trigger you, and you'll want to get in an argument with them or be sassy with them or whatever. But the minute you choose, like, human beings place conditions on their love constantly. The minute you choose to give your love freely with no expectation of getting one thing back, your world is rocked. Nothing can upset you. And happiness then comes about.
Sure.
Yeah, Julie, Paul, if I could, I'm going to build off of what Julie said and concur on a couple key things I heard. And, you know, I agree, you know, you've got to the art of allowing, okay, is knowing that it's tough. And it's always a daily work in progress. There is no silver bullet. And I think when people go to self-help or books, think, I want the quick, because we're in a world of MTV, instant gratification, infomercials, texting, social media, everything is in real time. Amazon, I call it, the Amazon effect. Want it now. And then if I have to wait till 5 minutes from now, I'm upset.
Right.
But if you look at all this instant gratification, personal development is a lifelong, day-by-day journey. There is no silver bullet. And I see some of these speakers on the stage say, my system solves all your problems. No, it does not. I literally want to say in the back of the room, yeah, I'm going to react to that one and call you out.
Mm-hmm.
It's your decision, and you have to work on it daily. And like Phil would say, and many other wise males and females throughout history, is thoughts become things. Some people don't want to hear that. What you focus on, when Julie and I are very much in harmony amongst many things, that what you direct at, what you think about, becomes your reality.
Mm-hmm. Right, what you think about, you bring about.
Yeah, and it's very fashionable in modern society because I have clients, I do publicity for them and some of their marketing and different, you know, strategic components. It's almost in fashion to be kind of like sarcastic.
Mm.
You know, look at our traditional news media outlets. A lot of them won't put Julie and I on there. You guys are just those happy, motivational people, you know. The world's not like that. I say, why? Does it have to be that way? Do we have to focus on tragedy?
Right.
Dealers, the high-speed chase 3,000 miles away? The OJs of the world? Do we need to focus on the darkness? And again, I look at it every day. How do I positively disrupt?
Right.
And my mentor's like, man, that's kind of weird. I'm like, no. In a very loud ADD world, you have to disrupt. And I look at it from a positive perspective. Is very fashionable, and I call it cop-out thinking, and to be sarcastic and say, no, it's not me. Haven't you heard about the economy, the weather, what's going on in the Eurozone? No, I choose not to.
Sure.
Because at the end of the day, I'll say it, we create our own economy.
Right.
We do.
In a mass consciousness, yeah, that's true. You know, there's. I was talking to you before we started this, Paul, about the movie The Help.
Yes.
There's a part in the movie where I can't remember the name of the one housekeeper. It's near the end where she's telling the woman, the troublemaker. I can't remember any of their names. The one with the red hair, she's a troublemaker. And so she's saying, I'm calling the police on you. You're not working here anymore. And
right.
the maid says to her, ain't you tired? Ain't you tired from being that way? And I think people are coming to the point where they are just tired.
Right.
They're tired of life being a struggle. So it's like what Tony said. There's a lot of negative complaint out there. And I'm a firm believer, if you're complaining, you've got no space in your mind to create anything great for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are hungry for life to be a whole lot easier for them. And a lot of people are not. They have such firmly held beliefs that life really is a struggle and you have to work hard to achieve anything, and it's simply not true. But it takes something to cultivate a new belief system. And really, it's just a routine and a commitment, maybe an accountability partner, whatever it's going to take, but nothing's impossible.
Sure.
I see this as a great period of time.
Again, very profound. Accountability, we hadn't brought that up till now. Here's the other thing, Paul, that I'm often brought in for. It's kind of underlined and
sure.
implied. I'm kicking their butt to hold them accountable.
Sure.
I said, you need this done by this date. They're waiting for me to come back and said, you get it done. So they also know I'm going to give them some tough love. And almost like a good coach, where they see more potential, they're going to hold you to it.
Right.
And that's people we all need. That I have mentors and mastermind groups that I run with that pushed me not to be not Tony, but to get my gifts out there, to not rest and be too complacent or give me a fresh idea or to head off danger because I get stuck in a way or a habit that's maybe not serving me. But those associations and that accountability, Julie, that's big. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, and I would like to add to that that if you look at professional athletes or Olympians, they don't necessarily, they might have a coach, right, that, you know, make sure that they adhere to the training and all of that. But they're accountable for reaching that goal. So they are self-motivating. Not everybody is self-motivating. And when people are downtrodden and depressed for a period of time, it takes something. So having an actual accountability partner does make a difference. If it's, you know, you're held to account firmly, but with love and consistently, because human beings can be slimy. You know, they'll get away with whatever they think they can get away with. And depending on how badly you want to achieve your goals, sometimes you don't need an accountability partner, and oftentimes you do.
Right. Now, what are some of the upcoming events each of you have going on that folks might want to be involved in?
Well, we've got two Prosperity Boot Camps coming up in April. The one on the 16th is in Southfield, Michigan, and 2 weeks after that is in Illinois. And the next one in Grand Rapids is May 18th. And then we're doing something with a group from New York in August.
And is there a website they can find out more details, Julie?
Yes. It's www.theprosperitybootcamp.com.
How about yourself, Tony? Events you have coming up?
Well, a couple really jump out. Number one is I'm doing an event at the end of April in Del Mar, California, called the Think and Grow Rich Summit 2013. We got over 25 speakers coming in, but it's the 25th, 6th, and 7th. Easiest way, I'm going to give it because of when we, you know, this is airing for people around the world or if people dial into this interview later, is thinkandgrowrichsummit.com is the site event for the late event in April. And then my core main page, if people want to access me for Facebook updates, I do daily mind nuggets. I do e-letters. I do print newsletters every month. I'm always creating content because I can't turn it off.
Sure.
But the easiest way to find me is to go to mindcapturegroup.com. I have an e-letter. I don't bomb you or stalk you, but you can opt in if you see value. Or Facebook me. You know, I have Mind Capture as a fan page or my name, which is not easy. So I defer people back to Mind Capture Group. .com, but that event is pretty much owning me right now, and I knew it would in a good way because we have a lot of different moving parts and a lot of great speakers coming in from all over the world. And then what's also nice, Paul and Julie, for maybe some of your folks that want to dive in back and forth to our teachings,
mm-hmm.
is I update on Facebook a lot of what speaking dates are just coming. I just booked Seattle for August. I have a lot of chambers of commerce, a lot of keynotes that come up in real time that I try to update on Facebook. if someone's in a city, they can either go or invite their folks to attend it, because that is one beautiful thing about social media. Everything is very, very small and interconnected now at a much higher pace.
Absolutely.
Than any time in history.
This is Paul Jędrzejczak for Sunday Morning Town Square, and we've been chatting about self-improvement and motivation with Tony Wroblewski from Mind Capture and Julie Dankovich from Prosperity Boot Camp. Thanks so much for joining me, guys.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks again, Paul. It was a pleasure.